You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Some of the richest people I know had a lot of money, and others did not have very much money at all.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Our shoulders the burden of materialism that weighs down the whole world. Give us such trust in you that life becomes a joy to live, looking to your fatherly kindness and forgiveness to overcome obstacles and to travel the path of faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord. In his saving name we pray. Amen. Money matters. Money can make a big difference in your life. What matters is not how much money you have, but how you look at it, how you treat it, and what you do with it. I can just hear somebody say, "What's this preacher doing talking to us about money? Preachers don't have any money. At least they're not supposed to have any of it. If a preacher has any money, he probably doesn't know how to use it. What right has he got to be talking to us about money?" The suggestion that pastors and teachers don't have very much money can be generally true. They work hard but don't have very much money to show for it. If life had to be judged on how much money they have made or saved, they and a lot of other people would probably be called failures. What right have people like that to talk about money? On the other hand, a long time ago, the Roman statesman and philosopher Seneca remarked, "Money never yet made anybody rich." Some of the richest people I know had a lot of money, and others didn't have very much money at all. As one wealthy friend said to me while we were leaving church one morning, "It's just money, that's all." What right have I to speak to you about money? St. Paul might have asked himself that question. But that did not prevent him from speaking about something that's vital and important in human life, even though having it is not the be-all and end-all of human existence. St. Paul did not hesitate in his day to talk to people about money. He said to a young friend, Timothy, "Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are caught in the trap of many foolish and harmful desires which pull them down to ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a source of all kinds of evil. Some have been so eager to have it that they have wandered away from the faith and have broken their hearts with many sorrows." Paul was always talking for Jesus Christ. He encouraged people to have faith in Jesus Christ, both in life and in death. He kept saying, "That's real life. Receiving forgiveness of your sins from God with faith that Jesus Christ died for those sins. Taking up life anew in the power of God's Spirit, with love toward Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead by the glory of his Father. Forgiving others as God himself, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven you. Clothing life with a new suit of clothes, a new dress, put on every morning, with love, which is the last link in the chain of complete maturity. Faith in Christ is an act of God, empowered by the Spirit of Christ Himself, with the good news of redemption, the price He paid to redeem the world. Not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death. He did that so that you might be His own and live under Him in His kingdom. Living like that is a constant process, moved by the love of God Himself for you and for everyone. It's going on all the time with trust in Christ, helping you to grow in faith and love toward God and toward everyone around you. It's something that has to be learned and practiced. It doesn't come naturally. It has to be put to the test in practical, everyday living. There are many traps along the way. The money trap, said St. Paul, is one of the most common. It touches just about everybody. The money trap ensnares both rich and poor, both educated and uneducated, both men and women, and even boys and girls. Paul was talking in this case to a young man. It may be that I'm talking more to young people today than to older people. It's not that older people are never ensnared by the money trap. It's that they are often so set in their ways that nobody can persuade them otherwise. They become cynical regarding all this talk about faith and love. Money talks, they say, and money matters. It certainly does. Money matters. Yet I've known many older people who discover for themselves that St. Paul was right. They found it out by bitter experience. Money talks and money matters in ways you never dreamed about. St. Paul was a man of rich experience. He learned for himself something that everyone has to learn for himself. Having food and clothing, with these things we shall be content. Having learned that for himself, he lived contentedly with the ordinary necessities of life. St. Paul plunged on and talked to all of us about money. It's just money. That's all. Those who wish to be rich fall into temptation. It's a trap, with many senseless and harmful desires, which drown people to the point where they hurt and destroy themselves. One of the roots leading to any kind of evil is the love of money. You don't have to be a follower of Jesus Christ to understand that kind of language. People are able to find that out for themselves, just from their own dull and deadening experience. It would be interesting to see how many people assume that the more money you have, the better life will be. Money buys things, but it doesn't buy life. Money can buy so-called friends, but it can't buy friendship. People have been known to marry for money, but that money won't buy love. Money is the stuff that thieves can break through and steal, while the real treasures of life remain intact. St. Paul chose to live simply because he said, out of faith in Jesus Christ, he learned to live happily, either with a little or with a lot. He was not going to let money get in the way of his love for Christ, his faithfulness to him. Money doesn't have to get in the way, said Paul, but it can. It can when your whole life is concentrated on the acquisition of things, including money that can buy things. He remembered what Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and money." He also remembered distinctly that Christ had said, "A person's life does not consist in the amount of the things he possesses." Don't let money trap you, control you, because you'll have to live with the consequences of a consuming love for money. It's a root of all evils, said Paul. Some people are spending all their time reaching out for more money and have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Young people, and older people too, God wants you to have joy in life. Joy is to be found in the hope laid up for you in heaven. It really does make life here on earth a lot different. It frees you and it breaks the chains. It liberates you for real living, serving God. and serving others with all your being and all the resources at your disposal. That rejoices the heart. It leaves you a memorial for children that is more important than anything money could buy. Several months ago, I sat around the table with a 90-year-old man, his wife, and his children. I didn't know anything about the event that was going to take place. They produced a document that the father and his children all signed. The children were very happy about it, and so was the father. They had provided that a great portion of the assets of this good friend, whose life has been truly rich and full of years, would go to help carry on the work of the Lord. I wish I could tell you how often this aged friend of mine has told me, "The Lord Jesus is my friend and my hope." He talks about Jesus as his personal friend, and so he is. Those two know each other like a book. We may not be around to see the fruit of that agreement, but it was great to be there that day to see faith in Christ at work. I didn't have anything to do with it. The man made that decision for himself, all on his own. I simply looked on, not even as a witness, but as a friend. Money matters. It can be a positive force in the world. It depends on how you use it. Money, in and of itself, is not bad. God never said it was bad, and neither did St. Paul. "I've learned to do with a lot and with a little," said St. Paul. There's a big difference in controlling your money or letting it control you. A study made by Psychology Today discovered how America's middle class, fairly well-educated people, really feel about money. The results were rather interesting. The study found that for those who responded to the questionnaire, money didn't actually determine how contented they were, and money-conscious people were generally less satisfied with their lot in life. They found money to be a frequent source of friction, especially in two-income families. Many people wanted material things beyond their means, and thought quite unrealistically that prosperity was always just around the corner for them. Many of them steadfastly believed that money is all important. "Money is how we keep score," said one perceptive observer of the American scene. "How we evaluate ourselves and how we evaluate others. Money reveals whether a person is successful or not and how much self-esteem he is entitled to have. Scorekeeping in social circles often determines how to treat people as well as how to use money. In one form or another, money comes to control people. Money can matter too much." St. Paul said, "Have the right priorities, and money will fit very well into real life. Life lived with a purpose." It raises questions like, for what should I spend money and for what should I not? Money requires priorities, and it also has limits. They're different for each one of us. Paul pointed out that the faith we have in God makes a big difference in reaching the right decisions about the use of money. People all over the world concentrate their attention on buying things. It's a frightening commentary on modern life. Adam Smith, the author of The Money Game and Paper Money, recently wrote an article on this subject. He came up with a solution for the preoccupation with buying things. Adam Smith said, "What I did was, very consciously, to cut down the number of objects I own. I now own less than 250 objects. That counts each dish, each fork, each knife, each screwdriver, and each pair of shoes as one item. Each house, each computer terminal, each book, and each towel as one item. I don't include objects at my office because those are tools of the trade. Except for my house, which I rent out to somebody else, my possessions all fit in and on one car. Traveling is easy. Moving to a new apartment is easy. If I get a new possession, I give away some other possession." Now, this is not a new way to live, says Adam Smith. It's just a new way to live in this society, which focuses on acquiring objects. I just don't want to be the upper middle class equivalent of a bag lady. You don't have to go as far as Adam Smith did to learn that joy is not to be found in money or in the things that money can buy. You can go on with St. Paul to recognize that joy is found in God. If you want joy, focus on God. That's not impractical advice. In the Gospels, we read how Jesus once watched a widow give her last pennies to God. She had a heart for God. Jesus himself marveled at the love of this woman for God, foolish as it may appear to some people. Contrast that with the passion for acquisition that characterized even the religious establishment of that time, and of every time, bragging about how rich they were in things and disclosing only how poor they were in faith and in love, where joy is really to be found. Jesus is quoted by St. Luke as urging people to give to others, and God will give to you. Indeed, you will receive a full measure, a generous helping, poured into your hands, all the blessings you can hold. The measure you use for others is the one God will use for you. Those early Christians, poor as they were, gave to those in need. In giving, they gave glory to God and found joy in the grace God gives, and in the simple pleasure of using their money to benefit others. Money matters. The story is told about a man who went fishing off a pier. When he caught a fish, he measured it. If it was 10 inches long, he threw it into his bucket. If the fish was over 10 inches long, he threw it back into the water. Another person thought the fisherman was acting rather strangely, so he asked the man, "Why do you throw the big ones away and keep the little fish?" The fisherman answered, "My frying pan is only 10 inches wide." Whatever the size of the frying pan of your life, it's important to be able to fry and to eat what you've caught. People are always longing for bigger fish to fry. Each one of us must remember that it's just fish, whether it's small or large. I've found that the smaller fish are often much tastier than the big ones. A newspaper article about what the newspaper called the world's richest man on earth told his story under the title, "Poor Old Rich Man." Poor? The richest man in the world? St. Paul might have commented on that article. Money can do much good, and many of God's choicest servants through the ages have been rich, like Abraham. But money alone cannot buy the best things in life. The article in the newspaper pointed out that money alone had not been able to buy the richest man in the world a happy home life. According to the article, the man had gone through 5 wives. Money cannot buy true friendship or love, peace of mind or of soul. It's not able to buy faith in Jesus the Savior, the greatest treasure of all. It cannot buy forgiveness or eternal life. Money is just money, that's all. But money matters. It surely does. It's St. Paul talking. He's talking for Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He's talking to you, telling you to live one day at a time with a little prayer. Lord, give us today the bread for today. Sow the seed of the Word of God in your own life today, and faith will spring up to produce the bloom of love tomorrow. St. Paul quoted Jesus as having said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." God gives you forgiveness today so that you may show forgiveness tomorrow. God gives you life today so that your life may go and grow tomorrow. God makes you alive today with faith in Jesus Christ that you may warm somebody with life and love tomorrow. William Barclay, the great biblical scholar, has commented on the statement of St. Paul about money. Money can buy medicine, but not health. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Companionship, but not friends. Entertainment, but not happiness. Food, but not an appetite. A bed, but not sleep. A crucifix, but not a savior. The good life, but not eternal life. St. Paul did not simply berate people, as some of the modern prophets attempt to do. He pointed people to the Savior of the world and to the good life that is really good. With food and clothing, with this we shall be content. Those who wish to become rich fall into the trap of many senseless and harmful desires which drown people in their own hurt and destruction. For a root of all kinds of evil is the love of money, which some spend their lives trying to get, and wander away from the faith, piercing themselves through with many sorrows. You, man or woman of God, boy or girl of God, turn the other way, to righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you have been called when you made a good covenant in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you, said St. Paul, in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ who testified a good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. What a word of love it is to you and everyone around you. Amen.
Have been listening to a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. If you have found this message helpful for your own life, may we suggest that you share this cassette with others? This cassette service is a special ministry of the Media Services Division of the International Lutheran Layman's League.